Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Schumacher. Thank you, congregation, for allowing me to teach the Word of God. And I am so thankful for my pastors, Pastor Schumacher, Pastor Portman, and for the opportunity to stand before the congregation and simply be a part of what God wants to do with us all. And so tonight I am surrendering to God. And He's allowed me to keep the title to something I'm going to teach here tonight, but I woke up this morning at 3:45 and I was a mess because the Lord was dealing with me. And so I went and sat in the living room and I opened my notes and I had my iPad on and I was just staring because I knew that God was speaking to me. And I'm so thankful for my wife. She got up when it was now light out, and she came and she sat down, and just out of the blue, she said to me, as I was looking at my notes, she goes, "You're sitting in the dark?" And she sat down and she said, "Has the Lord ever changed your mind after you sat there with your notes and wanted you to do something else? What are the chances?" So I get it. And so I don't intend on being long tonight, but I truly believe that I have something to teach all of us because the Lord wants His body involved. And I just read the scripture and I will let you be seated in Jesus' name. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." The enemy wants you to think you can't, you don't have time, you'll never, and that's not your responsibility. But the scripture says for the perfecting of the saints, and His word is to perfect us for something that He wants each and every one of us to do. What's that? "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, tonight in this place, O God, Lord, I'm simply the vessel that is delivering the mail to, Lord, Your precious people tonight. Lord, You have a work for each and every one of us in this place. And Lord, I pray that as I teach in the love of You, O God, the love of Christ, that Your word would go forth, O God, and it would touch the hearts and the minds of everyone in this place, that we would leave here, O God, and want to speak that love and that truth to those that You put in our path. I ask it in the name of Jesus, and they all said, Amen. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. God was very clear with me this morning as what He would have me to do, if you would bear with me just for a moment. There has been some very powerful teaching Pastor Schumacher's message on Sunday, Brother Coffee Sunday night, Brother Dorflinger last Wednesday. And you know, we have Brother Little's coming this Sunday. And how many in this place believe that God is sending him here with a message for his church? Amen. Amen. So Brother Dorflinger, Brother Coffee, Pastor Schumacher, Pastor Portman, how many believe that God has sent them men to the pulpit with a message for this church? We are all on a journey together. And the scripture that I read says that they lie in wait to deceive, cunning craftiness, wanting to deceive us. See, we are all on a journey, but there's many things that can come in the way of this journey. The enemy wants to defeat us and stop us from doing what God is calling us to do, and we are simply looking back to the old landmarks. And we are grasping a hold of something that we used to be so tenacious about when we first came to this truth. But the cares of this life can get in the way. And all of a sudden, well, we had good intentions, but there just doesn't seem to be enough time in the day. Well, we have to clean the house. We have to check our emails. We have to send messages. Oh, and then there's the mail. Oh, there's bills. And then if there's any time left over, we maybe have a little time for play. But this one letter right here, I want you to think of this. Official change of address confirmation. If it's true in the natural, it's true in the spiritual. And can I just proclaim to you tonight that you grab a hold and you remember and you keep the most important thing in your life, the official change of address, because this is not our home. We're going to a greater place, but we need to take some people with us. Folks, this was not my message. So, I want to speak this thought to you tonight. The enemy's minefield is the king's mission field. The enemy's minefield is the king's mission field. Pastor Schumacher said tonight that we are children of the King and our steps are ordered by the Lord. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about a king and the king's sons and about how they were to walk. 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. Or I'm sorry, 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. We're going to go to the 8th chapter. But 1 Kings 9 and 4 says this. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked. You see, it's important to walk the way our father walked, or the way the ancient landmarks, the things they established. It's important to look to those things and continue on the same way. And through prayer and scripture and fasting, it helps us to get a better focus on the way we're supposed to walk and the things that really are important and not the things that the adversary. Listen, there. I'm not saying there's things wrong with what's over there, but the adversary can use those to distract and delay what God wants us to do in our lives. And all of a sudden, the mission field becomes a minefield because we're stepping around and treading through and just and if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do all that I have commanded thee, and I will keep my statutes and my judgments, Brother Dorflinger. Commands and statutes and judgments. Important, coming from the Lord to us. I believe with all my heart that what Brother Portman taught on the journey was a command from God for the congregation. He was the mailman, but God put that on his heart for you and I. Do all that I have commanded thee, and I will keep my statutes and my judgments. And then that first part of verse 5 says, then I will establish. When you do as I order, when you do as I have instructed, when you do as I have nudged your heart to do, then I'm going to establish some things in your life. And what God has established for you and I in his word is only for our betterment and our good. But the world wants to shun it and say that's not important anymore. See, in this portion of Scripture, Solomon has assembled the elders and the tribe leaders, and they're getting ready to dedicate the temple, and they're going to relocate the ark to that temple, the house of God. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon the second time. There are so many typologies here, but aren't you glad? So the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time. Aren't you glad this walk with God just isn't a one-time deal and that you have one experience and it's over? But week after week and day after day, we can have an experience with God while we're on the journey. The house of the Lord and the Lord, which appeared to Solomon, were two in the same, because he did what God instructed. But watch this. Even as Solomon built the temple, God put that in the heart of David to build. And David wanted to build the temple. God would not allow him. And Solomon, the next, was to build that temple. See, it should be in our heart to want to build a temple for God to dwell in. God said to Solomon, I have heard thy prayer after relocating the ark to the temple and dedicating, and the dedicating of the temple, just like us, you and me. The relocating of the presence of the Lord came in here, and now all of a sudden we were dedicated as something unto the Lord. Where did we get our instruction? From the King. His word. God speaks and directs very clearly. After Solomon addresses Israel and reminds them of the promises of the Lord and his faithfulness to fill all these things, all these promises that he has established, which was through David's throne, and he put his name on the temple that was in David's heart to build. The temple that was in David's heart to build, Solomon built, and God put his name on it. Watch. The temple that you and I invest in to build was instructed by the Lord, and God will be faithful, just like he was to David, to put his name on that temple. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, what's interesting, and if we could go to 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, verses 23 and 24. I'm sorry, the 9th chapter, verses 23 and 24. The Lord appears to Solomon. I am sorry. I was right the first time. 1 Kings 8, 23 and 24. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. There it is again, how important it is to walk before the Lord with all our heart on that heartfelt journey. Who has kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thy hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that the children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. I want you to see a promise in the scripture here that the Lord would have a man that would sit before his people and teach them through the generations how they should walk to be pleasing to God. Now, if you'll jump ahead to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, we think of verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, this is 700 years before Christ, but look at verse 7. Here's what I want you to see. Keep in mind what he said in verse 25. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that the children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked. Verse 7 of that 9th chapter of Isaiah says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. What was spoke of way back here in the book of 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, is spoken again from the prophet Isaiah, that there would be one to sit on the throne that would walk, oh my, and would show his children how they should walk. And you and I are sitting here tonight because we have been shown, according to the scripture and by the one who sits on the throne, the way we should walk. Through the generations, David, a man after God's own heart, and we sing the song, we have the spirit of David. Well, in the Old Testament times, when the covenant was made with circumcision, it was also made to those that were bought with a price. The promises over and over and over in the scriptures, and we are here tonight because of that promise, but there are so many more that are out there that need to be here because the promise is unto them as well. Because after this and after the temple is dedicated, Solomon prays a prayer. And the first part of that prayer is against the wicked and Israel's enemies. And isn't it interesting because the Lord Jesus Christ beat death, hell, and the grave, and he went to hell and got the keys to the kingdom from the wicked one so that you and I, the first prayer Solomon prayed, or the first part of his prayer, was to take care of the wicked and those who wanted to destroy the children of Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ took care of that first thing by going to Calvary and got the keys so that you and I could be spared. And then he had a prayer to send rain and deliverance from the plagues. That'd preach. And then he prays to hear the stranger. That's you and I. Moreover, concerning a stranger, verse 41 of 1 Kings 8. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake. Oh my. Do you see the typologies there of yours and my generation that the Lord would bring to his kingdom? And then he prayed for battle and for captivity. And then Israel separated for God's inheritance. All these things that Solomon prayed had a theme for you and I. So he prays all of that, and it applies to you and I in the year 2018. So he prays for victory against the enemy. Yes, there is an enemy. Yes, there is someone who wants to eat up our time and stop us from walking in the way the Lord wants us to walk. And yes, there is wickedness. So then it's safe to say that for the people of God, there is a battlefield. But of course, he has taken care of that. The course has been charted, the battle plans are drawn, and the enemy is a defeated foe according to God's plan. Now listen, we sing, my feet on the battleground, my weapon will be my sound. Do we sing that song? I will not be silent. My song is my triumph. My feet on the battleground. My weapon will be my sound. I will not be silent. My song is my triumph. You see, our life is a song that we sing every day to this world as we walk in the way that the Lord instructs for us to walk. And God allows for things to flow into our lives, and people will question us as to, why do you do it this way? How can you be so? Why does it? You're going where on a Wednesday night? How many times on Sunday? But the enemy wants to keep us from that journey. Why? And I believe it's not so much even for you and I any longer, but for who we can affect for the kingdom of God. And so with every wind of doctrine, you see, my song is my triumph. In Proverbs, and this has been interesting for me because as my daily reading has been in 1 Kings and 1 Samuel and 2 Kings, and I'm reading about King David and King Solomon, but then I read a chapter of Proverbs every day. And I'm seeing Solomon talking about the wisdom of how we should walk or how one could walk, but yet you can see the wisdom of his kingship as he's leading a people, and it's been so good for me. Proverbs 2, 7 and 9 says, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." And those are the things the Lord instructs us is how to walk and the paths to take over and over in his word. The instruction of the king is to preserve us. Verse 12 says, "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man." Remember Solomon's prayer back in 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. "From the man that speaketh froward things," or fraud. And what does it cause? Let's look at Proverbs 2 and 13. Proverbs 2 and 13 says this. "Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths." So there's a way the world wants us to walk, and Solomon refers to it as the strange woman, and there's a way that the Lord wants us to walk, and I refer to that as the bride. And our life truly is a song unto this world. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." Proverbs 4 and 11 says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." Verse 14, "Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men." Pretty simple stuff. Verse 26, "Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established." See, the beauty of the word of God applied to our lives and put into practice, this is established. And if we practice what he teaches us, all of our ways are established, whether they may seem like they're not at the time. If we're walking the way the Lord has asked us to walk, our ways are established. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. Amen. Amen. Psalms 119 and 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jeremiah, the prophet, says this in Jeremiah 10 and 23. He was praying for the wayward people of Judah who were going the wrong way. He says, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." See, we can't do it by ourselves. It's Christ in us who guides and directs us and keeps our path straight as we are on a journey. Matthew 7, Brother Coffey used this Sunday night, 13 and 14. "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be who go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." So, the enemy's minefield is the Lord's harvest field. I did some studying on a minefield. And landmines are containers of explosive material with detonating systems that are triggered by contact with a person or a vehicle. They are designed to incapacitate that person through damage caused by a blast, or fragments, or in the case of some mines, a jet of molten metal. They are generally buried within 15 centimeters of the earth's surface or laid above ground. Explosive blasts affect children. They're irresistible to children, and this soul pricked my heart. In the country of Afghanistan, they put landmines in areas that aren't so densely populated because the government and its economical system want to force people out of the rural areas to the cities to continue to burden the people and lead to more problems, so that it looks, they want to come against the government and make it look like they don't care for their people and that they don't know how to run a country. So they send them all into one big spot where it's chaos and trouble. But they put these landmines in country areas and they make them flashy, bright colors so that children are attracted to them. How sick is that? Bright colors and all kinds of things that speak and distract our children, and they feel drawn to that stuff. And all of a sudden, it explodes in their lives and affects them. It has a crippling effect on children. It has a crippling effect on adults. And things like this get in our pathway, and they keep us from the important things that keep us walking in the right direction. Children are affected more by these because their vital organs are closer to the ground because of them being so small. Adults are more or less crippled for life, where they can't walk the proper way. All because of coming in contact with something, well, and so not only is it important for you and I, the children of Christ, to stay focused on what we should stay focused on, but it's also important for us to help others see the things that they need to see as well. Somebody at one point in time in your life or my life showed us the things that are important, and here we are tonight. See, this is where we come in, because instead of being in this broad spectrum where everybody goes, there's a narrow path, and few there be that find it, but there are those that find it. And it's because someone helps them to find what's important, and that's you and I. Proverbs 5 and 21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his going." So, 2 Samuel, the 18th chapter, is a story that's written about Absalom, who is a son of King David. But he wanted power. He wanted to be the king. The son of the king wanted to be a king. See, just because you are a child of the king doesn't mean that you can't be subjected to wrong thoughts or wrong ideas. And so Absalom wanted the throne. And we see here in 2 Samuel 18 and 8, it says, "For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured." That word wood means forest or thicket or wooded height. Thicket. You know what I thought of? I thought about the parable of the sower and how someone was taught the word of God and it meant something to them, but all of a sudden the cares of this life grew up and choked them off. And now the walk wasn't so important anymore. The forest, or the environment, if you will, devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Ephraim was the place where this battle was arrayed, and Ephraim means double fruit. I shall be doubly fruitful, but it also means double ash heap. And you know, sometimes we can think if we have one foot in the world and one in the church, we can balance this all out and be doubly fruitful. It does not work that way. We will become a double ash heap. It's not a coincidence that that's where the battle was arrayed. Absalom, the Bible says, was on a mule. And if you study that out, that word mule derives from another word, 6504, which means to separate oneself or divide or be out of joint. Take this into consideration. Being out of joint with the King of Kings, or dividing yourself from the body of Christ, or the church body, if you will. And all of a sudden, what happened to Absalom that day? The Bible says that he got his head caught up in a great oak, or strength or power. Got his mind wrapped up in power or things or position. Something greater than what he thought he was. And it cost him his life. Even though his dad, the king, gave orders that they not take his life, it still cost him his life. And this is not a negative message, but it's an alarm to the church that to keep the main thing, and what's important focused, because even a child of the king can have his mind taken in a direction it shouldn't be. And there he was between heaven and earth, not grounded, not rooted in anything, just out there in the middle of nowhere. Separated himself. See, he got his head caught up in power and position and strength. But here's what I want to show you in closing tonight. See, just like the minefield and things that we can come in contact with that the enemy wants to use to destroy us and keep us from the journey, there's another explosive. There's another explosive opportunity that the Lord wants each and every one of us to have. Because Acts 1 and 8 says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Dunamis or dynamis, or which our word dynamite comes from, an explosion, because there's a power from heaven that hits us and affects us and changes the way we walk in our life. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and unto the uttermost parts. And you see in Acts the second chapter, when they were all in one place, in one accord, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one place in one accord, there came from heaven the sound as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. The Spirit of the Lord was poured out, and there appeared fire on every one of them. Sounds like an explosive situation to me, and that is the situation, that is the opportunity that the Lord wants everyone who is in this city. He would have it that none would perish, but that all would come to everlasting life. And so that's where the Lord has you and I. We are on this journey to get closer to the Lord. And through that closeness, Brother Graff, I got to meet your friend tonight, who somehow through guitars or musical instruments is here in church on a Wednesday night. Amen. I have had opportunities since I started a new job. I've had a couple handkerchiefs anointed and taken to people who have been diagnosed with cancer. Two people. And I thought of this as Brother East was talking about the Methodist ministers and how they wanted to see this truth and hear more about this. Well, there was a husband and wife where I work that both now are diagnosed with cancer. She has just been diagnosed with leukemia, and her husband wears this box, and he is getting radiation every day. I prayed for him one day when I was rewiring a smoke detector, and he shared a story. I got to pray for him. We anointed a handkerchief. Then the next day, found out his wife was diagnosed with cancer, and he says, hey, if you come back up and take a look at that smoke detector, my wife could use a little of your prayer. So I went and prayed for both of them. We held hands, and I was praying, and I started speaking in tongues. And all of a sudden, these two folks very fluently started speaking in tongues and had the Holy Ghost. Guess where they came from? The Methodist persuasion. But they had the Holy Ghost. I've had my challenges, but God spoke to me the other day at my job and said, every mission field has its challenges. This is yours. And so there have been some opportunities, but the enemy wants us to think we're not in the right place at the right time. Can I read you this letter? and tell you, and I'm talking to somebody here tonight, the devil's a liar. And he's told somebody in this place that you can't, you'll never get a job, you're not going to be able to provide, you're going to lose this, you're going to lose that. But when the Lord provides and we walk according to his scriptures and take the journey that he has asked us to take and make his priority our priority, he'll take care of all the things, even though they don't look like they're being taken care of. Dear Roland, we obtained the results of your pre-employment test performed at Concentra Medical Center in Racine on Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. You did not pass the test. As a result, you will not be eligible for employment with Oak Brook Corporation. This is week 4 at the Oak Brook Corporation. The place where the people spoke in tongues, the place where we anointed a handkerchief for my supervisor whose mom just had brain cancer surgery on Tuesday. The devil's a liar. Amen. This letter was supposed to come to me on a Saturday, and for some reason, because of a change of address from the U.S. Postal Service, this letter didn't come, and I got a call on Monday that said, if you get a letter that says you can't work here, just disregard it. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. The devil is a liar. And so I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but if you've been told that you can't or it's not going to happen or it never will be, I say to you, that is a lie. The devil is a liar. Amen. Each and every one of us has the ability to change the life of somebody in this city, in this world, and God is talking to you and I at this time to push this stuff aside and focus on prayer and scripture and fastings and watch what the Lord won't do. Strictly a coincidence that Rex is here tonight, I'm sure. Right? Not at all. Testimony after testimony in these pews because we are walking according to the direction that the Lord has asked us to walk. But he's also asking us to teach somebody else to walk the same way that you've been taught to walk. Would you stand with me tonight? In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, the Lord is talking about wisdom. And uprightness in him. And ways that we should not go. And his desire is to deliver us and to deliver all those that we rub shoulders with. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, with which flattereth with her words, which forsake to guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. But God asks us to continue to walk in the good way, the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. You see, the Lord wants us, through knowledge and understanding and wisdom in Him, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Don't depart from it. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Verse 26 of that third chapter says, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Let the Lord be your confidence. Let the Lord be your focus. And He will keep your foot from sliding, but will also put someone in your path that they can walk right alongside with you. Would you please tonight come to this altar, and would you ask, as we go on this journey together, that the Lord put someone in your mind or your heart, and some of you already know who it is, that there would be a door that would open up tomorrow, that you would talk to them, that you would share with them, and that you would allow for yourself to be used to show them the path of life. This altar is open.